Here we're going to start here at the bottom of Pechet Amud Bet, the little bit of Agadato, five lines up from the bottom. It says, Amarovo, Biskar Shamar Avram Avinu, Anochi Afar Ve'efer. Because Avram Avinu said about himself, he was so humble, that he said, Anochi Afar Ve'efer, Zechu Banav L'shtei Mitzvot. His children got two mitzvot, meaning corresponding to the Afar and the Efer. One is Efer Para, in order to be mitahir themselves from Tumah. And Afar Sota, to allow for the husband and wife to reconcile and have shalom ben ahem. So those two mitzvot were given to Abraham b'schut Afar ve'efer. Gemara says the obvious question comes profound in the parak of Kisui Adam. V'chshov nami Afar Kisui Adam. What about the fact that Kisui Adam is done b'afar? How come that's not included? So Gemara says, Hotom hechshir mitzvah iko. Hano leka. Over there, it's only a hechshir mitzvah. It's not a full hana. It's interesting because here the term hechshir mitzvah is not used in its typical format. Generally, hechshir mitzvah is something that prepares you to allow you to do a mitzvah. Over here, the Gemara is using hechshir mitzvah as being that the primary benefit of the action here or the mitzvah that you're doing here is not the kisui adam. The shechita is what is matir the animal with eating. Even without the kisei adam, you could still eat the animal. You could still eat the meat that you shechted. So the primary benefit is generated by the shechita. As an aside, as a side mitzvah, there's also the din of kisui adam. But there's no direct benefit to you, b'olam hazeh, in doing the kisei adam. And that's what the Gemara is focused on in terms of hechsher mitzvah. Hechsher mitzvah meaning that it's not a mitzvah that gives you direct benefit. And that's why it says over here that hano aleka, as opposed to the efer para, which is you get the direct benefit of going from tumah to tahara. All the benefits of being tahor versus being tamei. And that is accomplished by the efer para. And the same will be true with the afar suta. There are direct benefits felt by doing the afar sota, by doing the process of sota. Number one, to bring shalom, ben ish v'ishto. And number two is, we know that there's a brocha, that if the woman is innocent, that v'nikta zera, that she will become impregnated, that there are positives that can come out of it. Over there, both times, the hana'ah, the benefit, is a direct result of the mitzvah being performed, rather than a mitzvah that has nothing to do or not correlated with the direct benefit to you. So that's how the Gemara distinguishes or differentiates between afar of the sota and efer, the parab, versus the afar of kisui hadam. It's interesting, the Marsha asks, well, what would have happened if Avram Avinu didn't say anochi afar ve'efer? What would have happened to the mitzvah? You couldn't become tahor. We wouldn't have the mitzvah of efer para. What would have happened in those situations? So he suggests that these types of things would have been much more difficult to accomplish. What Abraham did by saying Anochi Afar Be'efer, he made them available to us and easily to accomplish. Had it been that he didn't say Anochi Afar Be'efer, yes, you would have been able to come to Hor. But the process or the ability to come to Hor would have been much more difficult and far-fetched rather than the ease of access of becoming to Hor that we do have. So Gemara says, Abama Rovo, another Agarata, Bishar Shamar Avavinu, Im Michut, Ve'ad Tzruch Now. So by the stone, after he helps out the five kings, and he chases away the four kings, he comes back, and he brings back all the Shevi, all those people that had been captured, as well as all the booty that was taken from stone. And then the Melch Stom says to him, please take whatever you want. And Avram Avinu says back to him, I don't want anything from you. Imachud v'atzruch now. I don't want any of those items. I want nothing from you at all. So zochu banav, from that statement, his children were zochu l'shtei mitzvot. L'chud shel tchelet, to the string of tzitzit, u'ritzu'ah shel tfilin, and the straps of the tfilin. That's what it means, v'chud, chut ha'tchelet, and tzruch would be a strap that the ritzu'ot ha'tfilin. So Mar says, bishlam ha'ritzu'ah shel tfilin k'tiv. There we see that there's a direct benefit from the mitzvah. You have the tefillin that you put on, but that's not enough. Kediv bra'u kol me'aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, that the nations of the world will see that shem Hashem is found upon you, and then they will fear you. Vin Daniel, Rebbe Lezer Agadol Omer, Elu tefillin shibirush, That refers to the tefillin shel Barosh. So therefore, we see that there is a direct benefit from the mitzvah. Again, we are going with what we had said before. We are using the explanation the Gemara gave with the Rava statement before, that here, when we're talking about a mitzvah that we got from Avraham Avinu, it's not simply a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that has direct benefit. So here, the mitzvah's benefit is clear, that when you wear the tefillin, that the other nations of the world will fear you. The number two is, Elochut shel techelet mahi. What is the din of the chut shel techelet? When it comes to the chut shel techelet, where do you get a direct benefit from the chut shel techelet? The Tanya, we have the Braita, Behed the Simenachot, Rabbi Meir Omer. Ma nishtana techelet mikol tzivonim. What is unique about techelet than any other color? Mipnei, shetechelet dome liyam. The techelet is similar in color to the yam. Ve'ayam dome l'rekia. And we see that the ocean, the seas, look like the sky. Ve'rekia dome l'ibn sapir. And the heavens look like the Ebon HaSapir, Ebon HaSapir dome l'kisei HaKavod. And the Ebon HaSapir looks like, or is similar to the Kisei HaKavod. Rashi describes the process. This is something we know from Menachot already, that the Chilazon is min hayamhu. Ola achat ha-shivim shena, the Chilazon comes out of the ocean once every 70 years. Umarit damo dome l'yam. And the color of its blood is like that of the ocean. We know that that's how you create the dye of the Techelet. And the Techelet has to do with using or puncturing the chilazon's body and using the blood after it's exposed and reduced. The blood then turns into that color that we are looking for, the dye of the Techelet. So that Techelet is Domel Yam, which is Domel Rekia, which is Domel Ebon HaSapir, which is Domel Kisei HaKavod, Dichtiv. V'yiru et Yisrael, they saw, this is in Mishmatim, Perchav Dalet in Shmot, where there's a description of the Ma'amad Har Sinai, when over there it says, V'iru et Dukhe Yisrael v'takar alav, k'maseh sapir. So it leaves out the important part of the Pasuk, but they were standing there and they saw under the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ebon HaSapir, Uchtiv. And in Yechezkel, in the Maseh HaMerkava, it says, k'mar'eh Ebon HaSapir, d'mut kiseh. So there it talks about the Ebon HaSapir, it calls it a d'mut kiseh. As Rashi points out, in the Ma'amad, in Perich of Da'alad, in Shmot, it says that it's etzem ha-shamayim la-tohar. When it talks about the Ebon HaSapir, it says it's like the etzem ha-shamayim la-tohar, which is also a description used in Yechezkel, in the Maseh HaMerkava. So you see all of these progressions, in that we know that the Dama Chilazon, that Chilet, is Dome Yam, and the Yam is Dome Rakia. That far we can get. From Rakia to Ebon HaSapir, that is because the Psukim say it's because Maseh HaShemayim LeTohar, and it calls the Ebon HaSapir. The Ebon HaSapir is Dome, or similar to the Etzem HaShemayim LeTohar. And then on top of that, we have that the Kisei is like the Ebon HaSapir. So for all those reasons, there's a benefit to us. What is that benefit? Rashi says something very interesting over here. Ukeshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu mistakel b'kisei HaKavod shelo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at his Kisei HaKavod, Niskar b'mitzvah zu, she k'neged kol mitzvot. So when Hashem looks at the Kisei HaKavod, He remembers this mitzvah, which is k'neged kol mitzvot. Which is very different than, if you look at Rashi, Menachot, Mem Gimel Amud Bet, Rashi over there says that the benefit is to the individual wearing the techelet. The individual who wears the techelet will be uzchartem et kol mitzvot Hashem. That you will remember all the mitzvot Hashem, that techelet will be a benefit to you, would help guide you, it help keep your mind on the proper path, having the proper orientation in one's life, because he sees the techelet, which will remind him of the mitzvot, will also remind him of the kisei HaKavod. Again, it will give a person the proper orientation, the proper perspective on what he's supposed to have. Over here, Rashi describes it as being a Kadosh Baruch Hu mistakel b'kisei voshalo, that Hashem looks on the kisei kavod and remembers this mitzvah that Bnei Yisrael do, that it's k'neged kol mitzvot, and therefore Hashem will have rachamim on us, and the benefit will come that way, versus the other way around. It's interesting, the difference in the way Rashi expresses the benefit of the techelet in this case. So now the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Abba, kashe gezel ane'achal, shafil tzadikim gemurim eni yecholim l'chak zero. Gezel that is already consumed, gezel that's already been taken and now does no longer exists, is very difficult. It's difficult to return, it's difficult to do tshuva, because here we see by Avraham Avinu, even a tzaddik gomor can't give it back, shenemar. Because even though he refused to take michut v'atzruchnal for himself personally, he says, biladai raka she'achlu ha'ne'arim. He says, well, whatever the ne'arim took, that's taken already. I can't give that back. Whatever they took is good. It's also his bali brit, aner ve'eshkol, and mamre. So all of his bali brit, he allowed them, whatever they took, he didn't return that. He says to Melech Sodom, I won't take anything, I'll give you everything back. But that which had already been taken, already consumed, that he couldn't give back, or he didn't offer to give back. And he says, they will keep it. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Komakom, Sh'atam, Mutzit, Dvarav, Shor, Rabbi Eliezer, Beno, Shor, Rabbi Yossi, Aglili, Bagada, Aseo, Znecha, Ke'afar, Keset. Anytime you find the words of Rabbi Elazar in the Agadata, when he's the Baal member of the Agadata, Rabbi Elazar, Beno, Shor, Rabbi Yossi, Aglili, make your ears Ke'afar, Keset. So this is Rabbi Yochanan quoting the name of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Shim Bar Yochai, should make your ears. Now Rashi describes it over here like the afarkeset, which is the funnel, the hopper, on top of the mill. Afarkeset, which draws everything down, meaning that your ears should be, everything should flow down or flow into you. It could also be afarkeset, like a sponge, that you can take it in and absorb it. So you should take in, anytime you hear a gadita in his name, you should absorb it. It says, lo mirubchem mikol amim, chashak Hashem bachem. It's not because of your numbers that Hashem has taken a liking to you, but that Hashem chose Bnei Yisrael. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael, Gani Bachem, the reason that I am drawn towards you, the reason that I have chosen you, Shafilu, Shashani Mashpia Lachem Gdula, because even at the moments that I give you goodness and elevate you, Atem Mema'atim Atzmechem Lefanai, you still remain humble, and you deprecate yourself in front of me. Natati gdula li Abraham. I gave greatness to Abraham, Amar lefanai, and he said to me, Anochi afar va'efer. So that's obviously how we got into this Agadato, because we began this with Anochi afar va'efer. Lit Moshe ve'Aharon. I granted Moshe ve'Aharon greatness, gdula. And they say, v'nach numa. Now this is said in the context in Parshat B'Shalach, when Bnei Yisrael are complaining, and Moshe Aaron say, "Menachnuma kitalinu ala elenu." That what are we that you're complaining about us? Meaning, okay, you can complain to Hashem. You want to speak to Hashem, fine. But complaining to us or about us, we're just the messengers of God. There's nothing that we do on our own. So David, right, I granted it to David, and there it says, "Amar v'anochi tolat v'loish." I am a worm, a lowly being, not even a man. Aval uvdeku chavim enan chen. When it comes to the other nations, that's not true. Natati gdula l'Nimrod. Nimrod, who was a very successful king, Amar, hava nivna lanu ir. So the Gemara here assigns that Nimrod was connected with the Migdal Bavel and the Dor HaPelagah. And when it says, hava nivna lanu ir, right, Roshob HaShamayma and Chazal, referring to all the Agadot about that this was a rebellion against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Nimrod leads that rebellion, being one of the most prominent figures at the time. We see that later on with the four kings and the five kings, that Nimrod is a prominent figure. So here he tries to lead a rebellion against the Kodesh Baruch Hu after he's granted all of that to Gedula. Liparo. Paro was also granted Gedula through Yosef. He became tremendously wealthy as well as a ruler over a large tract of the area. And Amar, and he says, Mi Hashem. Moshe comes to present him for the first time. He says, Mi Hashem, Hashem, my love. Who's Hashem that I should listen to him? So again, this idea that after being granted the Gdula, they elevate themselves to the point where they don't even recognize God. This Sancheriv, also granted Sancheriv Gdula, he conquers basically the majority of the known world at that time. He comes to lay siege over Yerushalayim, and they're way outside of Yerushalayim, and they're trying to convince the people inside of Yerushalayim to give up arms. And he says that from Sancheriv, the message coming from Sancheriv is, if you lay down your arms and you surrender the city, I will take care of you, and I will take you. Yes, I will exile you, but I'll exile you to places of course, it could basically, Eretz Chavat, Zavat Chalav Udvash, Eretz of the Shivat Aminim. He says, life will be good if you surrender. And then he says, Mi bechol Elohei haratzot. Who from all the other gods of the nations, here it's Elohei and Chol, mean that who from other gods of all other nations has protected them? We've conquered most of the world here. So why do you think, and that's the end of the pasuk, is why do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save you over here? No other God has stood up before Sancheriv. So why should God, why do you think God will stand up before Sancheriv? Obviously we know the end of the story. Chizkiyahu HaMelech does tshuva. And Sancheriv's army laying siege to Yerushalayim is destroyed overnight in a plague. And it was a tremendous loss for Sancheriv. But here he elevated himself and says, oh, no other God stood up to me. Why should the real God stand up against me? Nebuchadnezzar was also granted Gdullah, again, ruling over most of the known world at the time, Amar. And he said about himself, Ele alba matei av, says, I will go up on the high clouds, edame el elyon, that's the end of the pasuk. And it was similar to elyon, to the one above or high up. And he compares himself to God, basically. Says that I am like, or I'm on par with God. L'chiram melech tzor. Chiram melech tzor was also granted tremendous success and gedulah. And he says, Amar, this is a quote from Yechezkel, Moshav elukim yeshavti b'lev yamim. I have sat down, I sit like this sitting or the throne of God. Shavti b'lev yamim, I sit amongst the oceans. Again, comparing himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu after being given that Gedulah. So the Midrash here distinguishes between the Jewish leaders and the Gedulah being afforded to the Jews and the humility that they have in the face of that Gedulah versus the others from the other nations that are giving Gedulah, and that Gedulah goes to their head and they all challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or they elevate themselves to the point where they think they're on par with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amar Rava, V'itema Rabbi Yochanan, Gadol Mashinemar Boshev Aaron, Yoter Mimashinemar Be Abraham. That which is said about Moshe Aaron is even greater than that which was said about Abraham. Dilub Abraham K'tiv Anochi Afar Ve'efer. Because by Abraham it says, I am Afar Ve'efer. Dilub Moshe Aaron K'tiv Anachnuma. He said Afar Ve'efer at least. They say Anachnuma, we're nothing. So they call themselves nothingness versus Avram, who calls himself at least a far vefer that has something of substance. The world is held up or supported by Moshe Aaron. How do we know? Tivocha benachnuma by Moshe Aaron. It says, "Who are we?" Uchtevatam tole eretz al blima. So here, tole eretz al blima means that Hashem suspends the earth above the blima. Blima meaning the depths, the tohu that's below. But then the Gemara here is darshaning it as two separate words, as bli ma. The Torah alerts, how come, where's the land? The land is suspended, al, because of bli ma. The one who says bli ma, that we're nothing. So that's referring to Moshe Aaron, who said, v'anachnu ma, who are we? So Amar Rabbi Ilah, there's another girsot, Amar Rabbi Elazar, in olam mitkayim, ela b'shvil mi shebolem et atzmo b'shat miriva. The world is only sustained by the fact, or by those people that silence themselves in the face of machloket, in the face of quarrels. Shinemar tole eretz al blima. That's the people who Hashem suspends the world, or sustains the world for, is al blima. Those that make themselves into nothing, make themselves into a carpet. So the fact that they're blima, that as if they don't exist, also from the word bolem, which is the one who silences themselves. Those that are quiet or silenced, they are the ones that sustain the world. Rebo Amar mi shemesim atzmo k'mi she'eino. Person who makes themselves as if they're not, they're the ones that the world is kept sustained for. Shnemar umitachat zra'ot olam. So that's, we know, it's coming up in Pashat Zot HaBracha. It says there, umitachat zra'ot olam. So the drash here, it's almost like Chassidus Shavarta and the Pasuk. It says, umitachat. Whoever puts themselves below, whoever puts themselves as if they're not there, and they can be walked on, Misha, as Rashi calls it, Misha Nidras Tacharakol, anybody who can be stomped on or walked on below everything, Zrol Tolam. They are the arms that hold up the world. They are that which sustains the world. Tamar Rabbi Yitzchak, Maidichtiv, what are you going to do with the Pasuk, or how do you explain this Pasuk in Tehillim? Tehillim says, Ha Umnam Ilaim, Tzedek tidabirun meisharim tishpedu bnei adam. So the way the pasuk, or the way the pasuk should be read, is haumnam eleim. Are you silent in the time that you should have Tzedek didabrun, that you should have spoken about righteousness or straightening out an issue, Mesharim tishpetu b'nei adam, so that at times that you should have been rectifying the judgments of people or been straight with people. So there it's more of a rhetorical question is, are you silent instead of doing what is right? Now the Gemara is going to break it down and darshan it a little differently. Ma umnato shel adam be'olam hazeh? What should be the job of an individual in this world? What is his craft? Yasim atzmo ki'ilim. He should make himself like as if he was silent. Yochal av the divrei Torah. I believe that is true in divrei Torah as well, that a person just silenced themselves. Tamal omar tzedek tidaberun. You should speak in tzedek. In tzedek being the Torah, which is the ultimate tzedek. So there you should speak. Tidaberun. Do speak about Torah. Don't be silent. Meaning you're supposed to be silent when it comes to worldly affairs, when it comes to mirivot, arguments, and quarrels, there you should be silent. But when it comes to divrei Torah, you should speak up. Yochel gisdato. You would think that you should speak up, and that should elevate your position, you should feel good about it. Tamal omar, mesharim tishpetu b'nei adam. That mesharim, person who makes himself like a mishor, flat, and easy to walk on, tishpetu b'nei adam, they should rule over, or they should judge others. That the position that Torah gives you amongst the people should make you like a mishor, make you flat, and that you should still be humble, even in the face of the gdula of the Torah that you have to convey. So that was the small agadata that we had here. And now the Gemara is going to come back to our Gemara by talking about Kisui Adam and finish off with a very interesting sugya, which is relevant to Inyana Diyoma. Amar Abzira, V'itayim Rabba Bar Yirmiyah Mechassim Ba'afar Inyana Dachat. So Rabbi Zira, or Rabba Bar Yirmiyah, says that you're allowed to use the dust of an ear on the dachat in order to cover and do the Kisui Adam. V'amai, why is that the case? Isurei Hanohu, the remains of the dust of the ear on the dachat after you bring Kol Shvala to the middle of the city and you burn it, that which is left over is Asur V'anah. Only comes to teach you about the actual earth that is found in the Irani Dachat. Dichtiv, because it says by the Irani Dachat, vet kosh lala tikbots el toch rechova, that you will bring all of the remaining articles, possessions of the Irani Dachat, you'll place them in the middle of the road, visarafta, and then you will burn them. Mi shenu mechusar lekvitza visrefa. Only an item that all it requires is to be brought there and burnt will require to be burnt and be antachat the Isur Hanah. Yotzezeh. When we talk about the earth, the dirt of the ground, that shemechusar tlisha, that's missing three things. You have to be toleshit, you have to somehow sever it from the ground, remove it from the ground, kvitza, then bring it to the middle of the city, visrefa, and then do the srefa. So because it has that extra step in between, it will not be required, first of all, to be taken to the middle of the city and burnt. And number two, it will not be incorporated under the Isur Hanah. So according to this, the afar that we're speaking about here of the Irani Dachat is not the afar, which is the result of burning all the possessions of the city, but rather literally the earth that is found, the dirt that is found in the Irani Dachat, because it has an additional requirement of tlisha in order to bring it to the middle of the city and have it burnt. It is not incorporated under that restriction, and you can use that afar for kisui hadam. V'rabba amar, it says, why do you have to go that way? Mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. Why do I need to say that I'm not using the afar of this reifa because there's an Isur Hanah over here? Why do I have to say that we're talking about the earth, the dirt of the actual city? Just say, mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. Mitzvot are not given to give, but get benefit from them. So even if it is an Isur Hanah, that's not going to matter over here because mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. So let's come back in 1 second. Let's discuss what that means. Mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. Yoti v'ravina v'kamar lo alaha shemaito. So Ravina said over this memra, Eitvei Rav Ruchumi l'Ravina. Rav Ruchumi asked Ravina after he sang over this memra and came to the conclusion of Rava, Shofar shalobadat kochavim. It's shofar of what is a ra? Lo yitku ubo. Shouldn't be able to blow. You can't blow it. Avodah Zarah, Isur Hanah. So you shouldn't be able to blow the shofar because it is Isur Hanah. My love, what is the din? When we have this din, that shofar shalom lechim lo yitkabo, my love, imtaka, If he actually did blow it, lo yatsa, he wouldn't be yotze. And what do you see here? You see, even though mitzvot lav le'enot didn't do, nevertheless, if you use a shofar over that kochamim, all of a sudden you are not yotze. He says, no. Imtaka yatsa. You're not supposed to use it because it's ma'us. The shofar of Avodah Zarah, it's not appropriate to use it. Nevertheless, if you do use it, you are yotze. Lulav shel avodat kochamim comes to lulav of Avodah Zarah. Lo ito. Shouldn't use that as your lulav. Again, mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu. Why not? You're talking about Yisrael, no. Why can't I pick up the lulav? So my lav, im nata lo yatsa. The conclusion of this would be that if you actually use the lulav of Avodah Zarah, you would not be yotze. It says lo, im nata yatsa. And Ochanami, if he took it, he would be yotze. We don't advise him to do this. It's ma'us. But if he does it, since mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, if you do use it, then you will be yotze. So from here, at this point in the Gemara, we are maintaining this idea that mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, and because mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, you can perform any mitzvah that incorporates within it an Iser Hanah. Over here, you can use the Efer of the Ir HaNidachat, the result of the burning of the Ir HaNidachat, you can use that for Kisui Adam. You can use a shofar of Avodah Zarah to blow the shofar and to hear the kolot of Rosh Hashanah. You can take a lulav of Avodah Zarah to be yotzei the mitzvah of lulav. So that's what we have so far. But then we have a problem, Vatanya. We have an explicit brayta that says, Taka, lo yatsa. If you blow that shofar, you're not yotzei. Natal, if you take that lulav, lo yatsa, you're also not yotzei. If that's the case, we have here an issue where we have mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, and nevertheless, you here have Yisurei Anah that involve Avodah Zarah, and we're saying that you're not yotze. If you use these items, you're not yotze the mitzvah. So Rav Ashi, Yochi Ashto, how can you compare the cases? So here we come to the famous line that is found in the Gemara in Sukkah, when it asks, why is lulav shel asherah, why is it problematic? Why can't you use the lulav shel asherah? The reason is, hatam shi'ura bi'inan. There is a minimum shi'ur of the shofar. There is a minimum shi'ur of lulav. But when you have something that is omed b'sreifa, kitutei michtat shi'ura, it's as if it is dissolved already, it's as if it's been pulverized already. It's as if it doesn't exist, as Rashi says here, because kol omed b'sreif, what are you supposed to do with Avodah Zarah? You're supposed to burn it up. Kisaruf dami, so now it's as if burnt already. Hilkach, because of that, it's as if its shiura doesn't exist because it's been pulverized. But over here, by Kisui Adam, the more pulverized it is, dechute male le kisui, it's even better. Our whole distinction we drew in the Mishnah was that anything that is thin and fine, like the dirt or dust of the earth, that is good for Kisui Adam. Anything that is gas, that is coarse or thick, that is not good for Kisui Adam because it's not like afar. So over here you have an item which is ketute mechtat shiurei. It's as if it's pulverized and crushed up. That's perfect. That's exactly what we're looking for. That's exactly the type of afar that we're looking for Kisui Adam, and therefore the Kisui Adam can be accomplished even with the shalal of the Nir HaNidachat, because the ketute mechtat shiurei is not something that is relevant. There is no shiur by the Kisui Adam. It's not relevant to Kisui Adam as it is to lulav and to shofar. And truthfully, over here, we don't get involved so much with mitzvah ha-ba-be-avera, because technically the avera of Avodah Zarah was already done. There's no, the direct avera here, these are Yisrei Anah, you're supposed to burn them up, but the mitzvah ba-be-avera is really not of application in this case. You have that by gazul, when something is stolen, then you have more of an application of mitzvah ba-be-avera. It's interesting here, the Gemara is speaking about shofar and lulav, according to many of the Rishonim, or the mitzvot where mitzvah ba-be-avera applies. Bless you. Even though mitzvah aver may not apply broadly to all mitzvot, everybody believes that they do, or maybe particularly they believe that they apply to shofar and lulav, because both of them are the ritzui or the ratzot. Both come to be meratzeh, and therefore mitzvah aver is important by them. Now, what about mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu? So how does mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu work? So there is a machloket rishonim, machloket rishonim in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah, about how mitzvot lav le'enot works. Does it work that we say, basically, we know there's Hanah here, there might be Hanat Aguf here, but it's tefel. It's secondary to the mitzvah that you're doing. It's as if there is no Maiseh Hanah here, even though there is, because the mitzvah is the primary reason why you're doing this, we ignore the Hanah that is coming about over here. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, the primary purpose of the mitzvah is a davar ruchani. It's a spiritual item. The nafkamina between these two reasons will be, what happens if there is, has to be hanata guf here? There has to be hanata guf. Like by blowing shofar, taking the lulav, your benefit is the ruchani benefit, but hearing the shofar, carrying the lulav. But in terms of hanata guf, your gashmi hana, there is no real gashmi hana. It's all a hana ruchani. It's a spiritual benefit that you're doing the mitzvah. But what happens in certain mitzvot where there has to be hana that comes from it? For instance, if you go to the mikveh, when you go to the mikveh, and it's a really hot day, and now you're going into a cool mikveh and it cools you off. Yes, the reason you're going to the mikveh is to become tahor. But on the other hand, there's a psik reshe. There's an impossibility that you will not get hana to go from it. Same thing by sukkah. What happens if you sit in the sukkah, and it's a hot day, and the shade provided by the sukkah gives you benefit? So over there, yes, your primary reason to do it is for the mitzvah and for the sukkah, but nevertheless, you are getting hana. You are getting a benefit. So if we say that when we say mitzvah lav la'anot nedu is because the only reason you're doing this is for the spiritual benefit, there is no benefit gufani, that means when there is a benefit gufani, it would be a problem of mitzvot lav la'anot nedu. Because you're getting a benefit. You're getting a benefit. We just say that when it comes to spiritual benefits, those don't count in terms of Yisurei Hana. There is a benefit to you. It's just not a Gashmi benefit. It's a Ruchani benefit that does exist. So then, in that case, where you do get benefit, we're going to say to you, you can't do it. You can't go to the mikveh. You can't sit in the sukkah and get the shade. On the other hand, if you believe that the Hana is always there, even when there's Hana Gashmi, we ignore the Hana. We ignore it. We say that the primary reason you're doing this is because of the spiritual benefit. This Gashmi benefit becomes subverted. It becomes as if not. Then even when you have personal benefit from it, we ignore the personal benefit. So even in cases where you sit in the sukkah, or the cases where you go into the mikveh, we'll allow you to do it because we don't worry about that benefit. The Achronim point out that it's a machoket mishonim, and there's the Rashba, there's the Ritva, there's in sukkah and Rosh Hashanah that seem to be taking different sides in this manner about what it means, lav le'anot nedu. There also are major questions that arise from this. First of all, does it apply to mitzvot derabbanon? Does mitzvot lav le'anot nedu apply to mitzvot derabbanon? Because you have mitzvot derabbanon and mitzvot d'oraita. When we say mitzvot lav le'anot nedu, okay, when I'm talking about a d'oraita isur and I'm talking about a d'oraita mitzvah, I can understand that. But what happens if the mitzvah is derabbanon and the isur is d'oraita? Now, if it's a mitzvot derabbanon and isur derabbanon, of course you can say mitzvot lav le'anot. It should work on the same way it works by d'oraita level. But what happens if we have a mitzvah derabbanon in the face of an isur d'oraita? So those that say that even a mitzvah derabbanon you can do it, mitzvah lav le'anot nedu. There are others that say that l'kulei amo you can't do it, because that's the key differential between mitzvah derabbanon and mitzvah d'oraita. By a mitzvah d'oraita, there is a chiyuv al yadam, the chiyuv al yadam to do it. Your obligation is your personal obligation to do it. So your personal obligation in doing it, we can say mitzvah lav le'anot nedu. On the other hand, when it comes to mitzvah derabonon, we say it's a chiyuv agavra to listen to the chachamim. The hechitinsa, to listen to the chachamim, is doing the mitzvah. So then, by doing the mitzvah here, you're not really, when we say mitzvah lav le'anot nedu, the action that you're taking is not, in and of itself, is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the shema kol chachamim. The way that you accomplish it is by doing this. So over there, maybe you won't have the tour of mitzvah lav le'anot nedu. The other question is, and it's actually our Gemara is a focal point in this issue of mitzvah lav le'anot nedu. When we say mitzvah lav le'anot nedu, is that only a heter b'di'evet? Or is that a heter l'chatchila? Do we say that when you have an option between mitzvot lav le'anot nedu versus doing it without any problem at all? Like in our case here, you have a choice between the afar of the irani dachat and regular afar. Do you have to go then choose the regular afar? Do we say the chatchila, we'd rather you don't use the afar here on idachat? Or do we say that when you say mitzvah lav le'anot, that's a heter l'chatchila? It's a heter l'chatchila which says you want to use the afar of here on idachat, it's no different than using the afar anywhere else. Once we say mitzvah lav le'anot, does it become like a hutra? Does it become that this is an equal plane with using afar here on idachat, they're on the same plane? Or do we say, no, that it's only a heter b'di'evet? L'chatchil, it's maus, something we prefer you don't do. If you have no choice, then mitzvah lav le'anot b'di'evet, it works. But if you have a choice to use something else, we're going to give you a preference to do it some other way. Similar to what we say by yaseh docha lo taseh. I say lo v'docho, say the Gemara has an opinion that we only have a principle I say docho to say when there's no other choice. We only say if shalat kaim shneihem, if it's, you're able to be kaim shneihem, do both of them. It's only when we're in a stira between I say lo to say, we say I say docho lo to say. So to over here, when you have a stira between mitzvah and the Yisra Anoah, we'll say do the mitzvah, it's okay. But if you ef shalat kaim shneihem, where you can leave the Yisra Anoah intact, and you can do the mitzvah without coming into contact with these or no, we'll say better to do it that way. Similar to that, I say, Dokalota, I say, do we say that? And happens to be a machloket in the poskim, machloket in the name, and our sukya plays a prominent role in that, over here, where we're doing kizu adam with the irani dachat. Is it his only choice here? Or is it that he has other choices, but he's permitted to do it even in the face of other choices? That's little extra iyun of mitzvah level. I don't know, brought in yonah diyoma of shofar, lulav, upcoming mitzvot and sugyot that really deal with the Rosh Hashanah, key elements of Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. Tosfot over here in reconciling between our Gemara and other places where the Amoraim seems to suggest that a shofar shel avodat kochamim lo itkabo, but if takabo yatsa versus the against our conclusion of our Gemara over here, how do we differentiate between the situations? So Tosfot suggests that the distinction is in whose avodah zarah is it? It's the avodah zarah of a Jew or an avodah zarah of a non-Jew. If it's an avodah zarah of a non-Jew, then it can be nitbatel. That's what we learned in the Gemara avodah zarah, that it can be nitbatel. Since it can be nitbatel, therefore yatsa. You are, you'd say that we don't say kitute michta shure there, because it's not certain that it will be burned up in that case. On the other hand, when it comes to the case of Isur avodah zarah of Israel, Isur avodah zarah of Israel, that has to be burnt. There is no bitul by their avodah zarah, and therefore kitute michta shure. To see if it doesn't exist at all. And that's why you're there in Taka lo yatsa. That's a distinction drawn by Tosafot. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam draws a different distinction to reconcile between these Gemaras. He says the difference is between whether the bitul had happened or not happened yet. If it's avodah zarah that's not been nitbatel, then it's omei l'sreifa. This is avodah zarah even of a non-Jew. Since it's omei l'sreifa, then it's kitute michta shure. On the other hand, if it's avodah zarah that's already been nitbatel, then you can use it. Well, then what's the problem in our Gemara? Why would you even have a habamin or not? That's where Rabbeinu Tam says it's maus. Even though it's nitbatel to use for a mitzvah, something that was avodah zarah, that's pasnished. It's something that you shouldn't do. So that's how he draws it. Rabbeinu Tam draws the distinction between what it's been nitbatel or not nitbatel. To reconcile between the sugyas, whereas Tosfot himself distinguishes between avodah zarah of Yisrael and avodah zarah of an Ovid Kuchavim. With that, we'll move on. We'll finish the perek and move on to the perek Gidanasheh. Gidanasheh, the format of the Mishnah should be familiar to us. It's the format that's been used over and over again, which is Noeg Baretz, Ubechutz Laretz. So mitzvah should be gufo. So obviously it applies both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. Bifnei Abayit, Shlo Bifnei Abayit, it's not relevant whether the Mikdash is standing or not standing. Bichulin Ubemukdashim. In Chulin as well as Mukdashim, Gidanasheh has application. It applies to both animals and chayot, excluding birds, obviously, here. You have behemah, chayot, and ofot. Ofot do not apply over here. It applies on the right hip, or right leg, and the left hip. It doesn't apply to birds. They do not have a calf. They do not have a hip bone. Now, they do have hips, and they do have hip bones, but they don't have their femur, the way it goes into the hip bone, it does not have that ball and socket joint. The ball and socket joint that both humans and animals have, which applies to the hips, the birds do not have. And because they do not have it, therefore they are not included under the mitzvah or the isur of Gidanasheh. So as he describes it over here, kaf is the polypa, that hanichrechet saviv etzem, the pulp that's around the bone. And that which sits around, the socket hits it. Etzem akuliot el yonah, saviv saviv bi'igul. Surrounded, it's circular in nature, which allows it to rotate in the socket, the ball and socket joint, which allows it to rotate inside of there. Avalof enu kein. That's not true by a bird. Shekein basar she'ala kuliot beruchavu. It sits in a flat manner on it. Veno demelaka. It's not like a spoon that sits there, the shape of a spoon that's sitting inside of the acetabulum. Joint, which, or the shape of that joint is the acetabulum, and therefore that shape is not apparent or is not there and is not as pronounced in the bird. Alright, the Noeg B'Shalil, it applies even to fetuses. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Inoeg B'Shalil, does not apply to fetuses. Vechel bo mutar, the chelev of fetuses is mutar. Vena tabachim yamanim al gidanasheh, divi Rabbi Meir. So now, the Tabachim are not believed when it comes to Gidin Asher. It's a very difficult process to remove it, and therefore they're not Ne'eman, according to Rabbi Meir. That when it comes to the removal of the Chelev, and when it comes to the removal of the Gidin Asher, the Tabachim are Ne'emanim on these items. Alright, so now the Gemara asks, Mukdashim Pshita. Why shouldn't it apply to Mukdashim? Now, truthfully, the entire Mishnah is Pshita. Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, Bifnei Abayit, Shlo Bifnei Abayit, Mukdashim, Chulin. All these items are Pshita, but we know from the previous Mishnayot, there has to be at least one Chiddush in the Mishnah. Because it's using this parallel structure between all of them, we know that each one of them, there's a Chiddush. So the Gemara sees that the only possibility for a Chiddush over here is in Mukdashim. That the fact that Mukdashim require Gidin Asher to be removed, that can be the only Chiddush here. So that's why the Gemara says Pshita, Mukdashim is Pshita, and now I'm left with no Chiddush in the Mishnah in terms of this layout. So the Gemara says, Mishum, Da'akdashay, Pakala Yisur Gid, Mine, prior to being coming Kadosh, the animal already has an Yisur Gidin Asher that applies to it. While it's in Chulin, it has an Yisur Gidin Asher. So now what happens? All of a sudden the Yisur Gidin Asher disappears when you Makdish it? Why would you have a Havamina to say that there's no Yisur Gidin Asher? If you want to suggest Yesh B'Gidim B'Notein Tam, that there is, the Gidim have a Notein Tam, that they do give off a flavor. And then you want to say, well, the Chiddush here about that it's Noeg by Mukdashim is not the fact that the Yisur Gidin Asher applies in Hekdesh, rather the application is that if one consumes the Gidin Asher, he will not only be in violation of the Yisur Gidin Asher, he will also be in violation of Mukdashim. The Yisur of Hekdesh comes and sits on top of the Yisur Gidin Asher. It's not just that there's an Yisur Gidin Asher, now there's an Yisur Gidin Asher and an Yisur Mukdashim. So Gemara says that doesn't work so well. Because even if you believe that Yesh B'Gidim Notein Tam, and they have a Shem Basar on them, they have a Shem Basar, then they can become Kadosh with the Hekdesh over here. And you have to say Yisur Chalal Yisur over here, that there's the ability for the Yisur to be Chal in terms of the Yisur Mukdashim, either because of the Chumrah of Yisur Mukdashim, or because of, it's an Yisur Musif. Because of that, you would say that Yisur Chalal Yisur. The problem is the wording in the Mishnah. The wording in the Mishnah doesn't support that understanding. Hi, Mukdashim, Noheg, bring Gid me by the way. The way the Mishnah should have written it is that Mukdashim applies to Gid. Not the other way around. We're saying Gidin Asher applies in Mukdashim. The way you should have written it, the way you're understanding now, is that Mukdashim applied to Gid. Not that Gid applies in Mukdashim. Ela Katsavar, it must be that the author of the Mishnah believes in B'Gidim and Notein Tam. But there is no, and Gidim don't have a Din and Notein Tam, and therefore Hekdesh will have no application. Umigdashim, Isur Gid, Ika, Isur Mukdashim, Leka. When it comes to animals that are Kodesh, there is Isur Gid, but there is no Isur Hekdesh. Vesavar Tana Didan, and Desire Tana really believe in B'Gidim B'Notein Tam, but it's not. We have a Mishnah coming up. Yerech Shinitbasho Ba Gidin Asher, Miesh Ba B'Notein Tam, Hariza Asura. We know explicitly that there is a Din of Notein Tam. So your suggestion here is the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that by Isur Gidin Asher by Mukdashim, that there's only an Isur Gid, not an Isur Mukdashim, because there is Notein Tam by the Gidin Asher. It doesn't have a Din of the Basar. I have an explicit Mishnah coming up that says that if you cook the thigh with the Gidin Asher in it, you have a problem because it's Notein Tam, and therefore the Gid is Osir that whole area. So you see, there is Notein Tam. So how can you suggest that the author of our Mishnah is suggesting that there is no Notein Tam? So that can't be the explanation of our Mishnah. Elo, hocha, bivladot, kodoshim, askinan. We're dealing here not with an absolute kodesh animal, but rather a fetus that is kodosh. Kasavar, noheg b'shalil. And the author of our Mishnah believes that it is noheg b'shalil, that Gidin Asher has application by the fetus. Kasavar, and the author of our Mishnah believes, vladot, kodoshim, b'mei iman, hein kodoshim. That the Vladot Kodeshim, there are two possibilities of when a Vlad becomes Kodesh, when they are inside of their mother's womb. You can say they're either Kodesh from the time of conception, the time that they are formed, from the immediate point, or maybe they're only Kodesh once they're born. When they are born, they automatically have the assumption of Kedusha. So this has the Vladot Kodeshim Ve'iman Hen Kedushim, that already within their mother's womb, they become Kodesh. So why does that help you? Because the Isur Gid, the Isur Mekdashim, but they are Dadi Ka'ate. We're not faced with the problem that we had before. The problem we had before is that you have, first of all, Notein Tam. So Notein Tam says that this has a Din of Basar. There's a Din of Basar. Okay, it can become Kodesh. because they have Isur Chal al Isur. But the problem was that the wording of the Mishnah didn't support such a reading, because then it should say Mugdash actually affects the Gid. So now what we've done is said we've taken away the fact that the Isur Hekdesh comes later than the Isur Gid. We're suggesting now is that the Isur Gid and the Isur Kodesh happen simultaneously. And that's what it means that Isur Gid applies by Mugdashim. Applies by Mugdashim because now Hekdesh and the Isur Hekdesh and Isur Gid will apply because they happen simultaneously. The Isur Gid, the Isur Mugdashim, Ba'adei Adalikati, they come simultaneously at the time of conception. They will both come into effect. When the fetus is formed, once it becomes a formed being inside the mother, it will become Kodesh. At that time, it also have the Isur Gid take effect. So Gemara says, Umi Matzid Mukmik La B'Shaliel. How can you set this up as a case of a fetus? V'amikdani Seifa Noeg B'Shaliel. Over there in the Seifa, we have a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether it is Noeg B'Shaliel. So he said, but Tanakama, Rabbi Meir says, Noeg B'Shaliel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Noeg B'Shaliel. That doesn't apply by Shaliel. So they're arguing in Shaliel. Your suggestion now is that even the Reish is talking about a fetus? The Mishnah only introduced the issue of fetus in the latter half of the Mishnah. So now your suggestion the Reish is also talking about a Shaliel? Then why is it only talking about this issue, Noeg B'Shaliel, all of a sudden in the middle of the Mishnah? The whole Mishnah is talking about a case of Shaliel. So Rabbi Tani Seva Noeg B'Shaliel, Mechlau the Reish, Allah B'Shaliel Eskinen. The occasion is that in the Reish it's not talking about Shaliel. So Achikamar. No, this is, the Mishnah is continuing. Dabar Zeh that we talked about in the beginning of the Mishnah of Shaliel, Machloket to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon. It's Machloket to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, as to whether it's Noeg B'Shaliel or not. Now, truthfully, it's a very difficult explanation of the Gemara. Tosfos points this out, leaves this as a tema. Tosfos says that the Shaliel that we're talking about in the Reisha is very different than the Shaliel we're talking about in the Seifa. The Shaliel we're talking about in the beginning of the Mishnah is a Shaliel that is early on in the development stage. The Shlamim, which is pregnant and now has a Vlad inside of her, that Vlad that's inside of her, all right, so it becomes Kodesh, as Nisir Gid. But that's early on during the process of development. We're talking about the Shaliel in the latter half of the Mishnah, says, Taima, my parech, ha-sefer b'shalil shenishchata imo. The case here that we're talking about is the shalil that's found inside the mother after you shechted the mother. We want to know if the gid and neshah has application anymore once you shecht the mother. The Reisha case, we're talking about a case where the mother's still alive, you have a fetus inside, and we want to know if the gid is asur or not asur. It's a totally different issue. Vod, might the mishani, and the answer is even also, he says, is a little strange. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, if you didn't do shechit on the aim, that the gid and asher is asur. I mean, the animal's asur. Forget about the gid, but the whole thing's asur. There's no, the only heter is that once you shecht the mother, it becomes yerach imo, and the application of chelev and gid don't apply over here. This leads to the tame. He doesn't understand how the Gemara is connecting between the two. Although I think that the distinction you would have written over here is about Shaliel. That if there is such a distinction in the Mishnah between Shaliel and Shaliel, it's a nuanced distinction, and the Mishnah should have pointed out the distinction. The fact that the Mishnah just jumps to Shaliel in the latter half without giving you any transition seems to be that it's a new topic and not that it's a continuation of the Reisha. I think you have to explain it that way. So the Gemara says, Umi matzid amar tatavayu ba'dei adadi ka'ati. The Gemara's assumption is now that the Isur Gid and Isur Kodesh Hekdesh happen at the same time. Is that really true? V'atnan. Aleilu tumot hanazir migaleach. On which tumult does the Nazir migaleach? Ala mate, val gazayit min mate. If he comes into contact with a mate, or if he comes into contact with gazayit min mate, he's tamei tumat mate, and it's soter his nazirut, and he has to start his kyan. He has to be mitahir himself and start his kyan over again. Vikashalon, we had a problem with this. Why? Al gazayit min mate migaleach ukololo koshke. Why does the Mishnah make a statement which is obvious? If you are soter and the nazir ruins his nazirut by coming into contact with gazayit min mate, when he comes into a full mate, contact the full mate that incorporates a gezayit min mate. What's the chiddush? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan qualified that mission and says, Lo nitzruch ha'el l'nefel. Talking about a miscarriage of a fetus. Shlo nikshiru ervarav begidim. That its sinews have yet to harden. Gezayit min mate. Megaleach. Because there you're talking about real basar. You're talking about a fully finished mate. But here when we say that you have to do a megaleach al kulo. Megaleach. Alamate here is talking about this type of nafel, this nafel that is discharged, that gezayit is not relevant by this. It's not a finished being to say that a gezayit min amate. But since it's kulo, it's the entirety of the nafel, that will be soter for the nazir. But what do you see from Rabbi Yochanan? That whole sugi is really not relevant to us. It's a sugi in nazir, it's a sugi in tumalt oholot, there's also a sugi in mishnah and oholot, that the same thing is asked, and there the Gemara says, also like Rabbi Yochanan's qualification, he says, just like he says it here by Nazir, he says it over there by the Mishnah and Olot, that qualification, there's a difference between a fully formed being, where Zayit min, that fully formed being, will be problematic, versus over here, we have a Nefel, Shukulu Kayam, Vayadayin lo nikton shuei v'irav. It doesn't have real Ivarim, it doesn't have real limbs in terms of its finality. You have the Ivarim being formed, the limbs, the shape of the limbs are being formed, but he doesn't have a Gazayit Basar. So over there, that's Kulo Mate, your Megalei Achalea. What does that do for us? Alma, Isu Mugdashim Kadim. The Isur Ekdesh takes place before. Because Mishash Notzar, who? From the moment it's created, it's conceived, it's created, it forms its limbs, already it's Kadosh. But Adayin Lo Notzar Gid. The Gid and Hashem doesn't exist. The sinews, the hardening of the Arim, of the sinews, doesn't take place till later. That's what Rava says. Da'achazina, the Yitziyat Ubar, Kodem, the Yitziyat Gid. That the creation of the fetus and the Ubar, the shape of the Ubar, takes place prior to the sinews hardening. And so therefore, you have the Isur Hekdes preceding the Isur Gid. And now we're back to stage one. What's going to happen here? The Isur Gid, how does it apply over here? So the answer is, Afagav, the Isur Muktashim Kadim, at the Isur Gid, b'chayil alayhu. Even though the Isur Mukdashim precedes the Isur Gid is Chayil Alayhu. Kishen is an amazing statement, Isuro Noheg B'Bnei Noach. Because the Isur of Gid and Asher applies even to B'Nei Noach. So that we'll get to in tomorrow's daf, explaining how that is and the Shittot that believe that. But we know that the Isur of Gid and Asher is given at the time of Yaakov Avinu. At the time of Yaakov Avinu, after his conflict, after his altercation with the Malach, and he gets hit in the Gid and Asher, he's limping afterwards, the Torah says, Al kein lo yuchlu b'nei Yisrael et Gid and Asher. But over there, there's no B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael there refers to B'nai Yaakov, and not to B'nai Yisrael, who might have a din of B'nai Noach. So we say, since the Isur is B'nai Noach, it's a Chomur Isur, because it's a Chomur Isur, it'll be Chal on the Mukdashim. Even though, generally, you might not believe that Isur Chal al Isur, or that the Gid and Asher should have application once it's Mukdashim, over here that there should not be Isur Gid. Isur Gid is unique in the fact that it applies also to B'nai Noach. Because it applies to B'nai Noach, therefore, that Chumrah allows it to be chal even on the Mukdashim, and that'll be the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that even though the Shaliyah by the fetus, the Hekdesh preceded the Gid and Asher, nevertheless, there's still an Isur Gid Asher Asher b'Mukdashim. Now just two quick things. One is, the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi here disagree exactly what this means about Alma Isur Mukdashim Kadim. Rabbeinu Tam says, Omer Rabbeinu Mishum Dechila Kol Hu Basar. At the beginning, everything is flesh. Ubasar Atzom Mit Kasheh Acharekein, and then the flesh afterwards hardens. Umit labein, and then it becomes white, v'naseh gid, and becomes the gid. On the other hand, the kuntris perish, demit tchila shagid notzar inu ala kaf. That when the gid and asher is originally created, it's not on the hip. V'lo chalet shivovit kashel akaf. It's only when it rises up to the hip area, to the hip bone, is that's when it becomes asur. So the difference between them is, what is the problem here? Is it that there's no gid at all? That's what the Rabbeinu Tam suggests. According to Rashi, there is a gid, the gid is just not properly situated. It's not situated in a place that would make it a sewer. That only happens on later on in the development process. Now, as far as in Isur Chal al Isur, we would have had here a possibility that the Isur Gid would not be Chal on Isur Mukdashim. Then what do you do with Isur Gid and Asher versus Eivor Min HaChai in all cases? All animals have an Isur Eivor Min HaChai, and yet we still say that the Isur Gid is no felt, applies. So Tosva gives two reasons over here. He says, either the reason that we think that Isur Gid is not Chal on Mukdashim, because Mukdashim is an Isur Chamur. Since it's an Isur Chamur, because someone who eats it bitumah will be Chayav Karet, therefore, we would have a Havamina that the Isur Gid should not apply. But a regular Isur, like Eivor Min HaChai, over there we would say that Isur Gid is applicable, or can be Chal. The other answer he gives is, Inami, there would be no Isur Gid on Asher. Because if you say that the Isur Gid and Asher never applies by Eivor Min HaChai, then you'll never have an animal that has an Isur Gid and Asher. Because there always have an Isur of Eivor Min HaChai that precedes the Gid and Asher. By Mukdashim, that's not true. If we would say that the Isur Gid does not apply by the Isur Gid does not apply on Mukdashim, that's only those unique circumstances where it's a fetus that was Nikdash, where the Isur Gid did not precede the Mukdashim. But in all other cases, it would be Chal. Or even in Chulin, it would be Chal. So there would be applications of Isur Gid, even if you said it was not Chal on Mukdashim. So therefore, that's why the Gemara differentiates between the possibility of having it by Mukdashim versus by other Isurim, by Eivor Min HaChai, where it has to be Chal, otherwise there would be no Isur Gid and Asher. Okay, we'll stop over here.